What I've chosen to talk about today is growing a good, healthy church. As you know, we plan on growing one of these days. We plan on hiring a pastor, and we hope to see some people come here that we can get out and get them interested and encouraged. And I'm not going to read a lot from the Bible today. I'll give you scriptures, and you can read them when you get home. I usually read a lot, but I'm going to comment mostly today. The mission of the church is to bring people into a right relationship with Christ to be saved. You know, the church is called, the people who are called out by God, it's called the ecclesia. It's a term used in the old Bible. And it's God's people called to be together and to work together and to love each other. And I wrote down the scripture of Matthew 13, verse 3. Which kind of addresses the issue I'm going to start with. You know, most people kind of think of the church as an organization, but I believe it's an organism. And let me explain to you what I think the difference is. In Matthew 13:3, he talks about the yeast. You remember the yeast and the dough? You remember that? And the yeast, what does the yeast do? It penetrates all through the dough. And the dough, all the dough rises when you mix the yeast in. Well, that's the way the church should be. The church should be an organism that doesn't have any boundaries. It doesn't have any, having trouble with my paper stand up here. Doesn't have any, let me say it this way. The church is wherever God's people go. So it's making a difference in a building, if it's a home, if you're working. It doesn't make any difference. You're part of the church when you're out and about with all the different people. Now, an organization, you either belong to it or you don't. That's the difference. And, of course, the government requires us as a church to declare ourselves as an organization. That's the government doing that. But the church is an organism in my way of thinking. You know, whenever a Christian goes to church and you go home from church and have your things at home, God goes with you. You're part of the church at home just like you are in the building, in the church building. The building really is just the building. It's not the church. The people are the church. And so when you're growing a church, you want to make sure that people understand that it's just a place of worship. It's not really the church, even though we'll always say the church in Mansfield, referring to the building. That's kind of the way we talk about it, you know. But anyway, talking about that and talking about the church, I broke it down into the structure of the church. The Bible tells us in Colossians 15, chapter 24th verse, that Christ is the head of the church. He is the one who started the church, and he is the head of the church. Then in the church, we have elders. Don and I are elders here in this church. Elders' responsibility in the church is basically to be spiritual leaders, to lead us in spiritual matters. Deacons is another office in the church. Deacons are basically, the word deacon means servant. And deacons are actually to manage the benevolence and meet the needs of the people of the church. That doesn't leave any of the rest of us out of a responsibility to be a servant and to take care of the needs of people we know about. But in a church where you have deacons, we don't have deacons here as such. But in a church where you have deacons, the deacons are the ones that will go see the sick, and they'll take care of people when they need money or finances or some kind of help along the way, maybe just encouragement, if nothing else. The deacons are the ones that usually primarily handle that. Of course, the elders and the members all do it too. When I talk about these different offices, that doesn't mean that the members aren't a big part of what goes on in the church. Members are the people who have accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. You see, they find that in Hebrews 11, chapter 11, verse 6. And so the members are actually the bigger part of the church. There are more members than there are officers and people who try to take care of the needs of this church. And so the members, let me say it this way. Members, deacons, elders, pastors, same as an elder. Ministers is usually one that goes about preaching the gospel, traveling more usually. We all must work together for the glory of the Lord and say our Lord and Savior and build each other up in the most holy faith. How do we do that? We do that through prayer. We do that through attending, through fellowship, exhortation, meeting the needs of each other, serving each other. And we all take part in that particular part of the ministry. And it's important that we do that. I've got some scriptures to give you here. Philippians 4, chapter 4, verses 4 through 9. Scripture that I'm going, the area that I'm going to now is the church and its functions. 1 Corinthians 12, chapter 12, verses 12 through 26, and Romans 12, 3 through 8 are scriptures that will tell you something about the functions of the church. For a church to be healthy and function well, it needs to have a balanced ministry between outreach and discipleship. Now, most small churches are pretty much inwardly focused. We have our meetings where we eat dinner together. We do things, we take care of ourselves is what that amounts to. That's what's called inwardly focused. Most churches, small churches in particular, are that way. There's a reason for that. They're small and they don't have a lot of outreach. Outreach is something that when we go out into the world to reach the lost. And every church needs outreach. We don't have a lot of outreach here. Of course, we're small in number. That doesn't really mean we shouldn't have outreach, but we don't have a lot of outreach. But outreach is where you go out into the world with some kind of a program or ministry and try to reach those who do not know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And so that's the two areas that need to be pretty much balanced in a church. Too much inwardly means that you're not going to grow probably very much. You may grow within your own number, but you're not going to reach the outside world. And the mission of the church, of course, is to save people. So we need to be able to reach the outside world. Now, having said that, we need to use good common sense in how we go about reaching people. You don't want to be self-righteous. You don't want to make them feel like that you're better than they are because you're a Christian. There are a lot of things that we can do to be offensive to people and turn them off. So we need to be very careful and prayerfully go about that before we try to talk to people and share the Word of God and the cause of Christ with them. You know that we must make sure that they have hope in this life and peace that only God can give through a right relationship with our God. Remember, the church does not save you. Jesus Christ is the one who saves you. A lot of people have the idea that the church saves them, and a lot of people have the idea that attendance in church saves them. Well, that's not true. It's attendance is very important because that's where we get fellowship. That's where we get encouraging and upbuilding each other. And that's very important that we attend church. I can tell you that I've seen in my lifetime, I've seen people who kind of fell away and quit going to church. And I can tell you it won't take them very long until they're acting more like a worldly person than they are a Christian. And I'm not saying that to put any pressure on anyone or throw any rocks at anyone, but I can tell you we need fellowship with one another, and we need to read the Bible, we need to pray together, we need to support each other and encourage each other. Life's rough enough in this world without having all that. and we need a boost once in a while to keep us in line with God and keep us worshiping Him. The other end of that story, I said the church does not save you, but Jesus saves you. The church is the saved. The church is the saved. And that's why it works as a organism rather than an organization. You know, there's a lot of discussion about church membership and all that. You know, if you're a Christian, you're a member of God's family. And when we talk about membership, you're just committing yourself to a group of people to support them and work with them. That's all that really amounts to. And I think it's good that you have that, because as leaders, then you have somebody you can kind of depend on to help you with worship service and all those things. Fellowship, outreach, and discipling will have a church that is healthy, balanced in ministry, and a church that will grow. I believe that's a true statement. I think, in my mind, probably we failed in both areas, really. You have a new person that comes to your church, or somebody that obeys the gospel of Christ and wants to be saved. And I know in the churches of Christ where they put a lot of emphasis on baptism, and I certainly believe that that's scriptural. But they tended to, once you were baptized and they felt you were saved, they kind of just push you on the back burner. That won't work. That does not work. That's why we need discipleship. We need to educate and grow our members. And you educate and grow them so that they can go out and convert people. There's a reason for that more than just getting the knowledge for your own good. You need to know how, and Jack Holland, I've got the scriptures at home. I'll share them with you sometime if you want them. He gave us a list of probably 15 scriptures on how to approach people and how to bring them to Christ. And I think that's so very, very important that we do that. And it's probably behooves all of us to get familiar with a way to talk to people that will bring them to Christ. But I believe that the elders are responsible. I'm going to put Don now on the hot seat right here. The elders are responsible for keeping the church balanced. We're spiritual leaders. We're supposed to be leading and teaching and working with people. And there are different ways to teach. Standing up here is just one way to teach. It's kind of like the old book I had that my first wife's granddad was a pastor of a church, large church, and a chaplain for the West Virginia State Penitentiary. A very godly man, apparently. I didn't have the pleasure of knowing him. He was gone before that, but I got a hold of one of his books. And on the inside cover, I guess he'd used this book for a sermon. He said, "What you are speaks aloud. I can't hear what you have to say." That's a mouthful. But that's the best teacher, probably. The example is probably the best teacher that we can give when we're reaching out to people who aren't Christians and who maybe are not connected to a church or a body where they're getting edified and fed. I think that's about all. I got started a little bit late, but I'm gonna close there. I want to know if there are questions or comments or something you can add. That's one of the problems I think of being a pastor, is you're kind of on a one-way street. You present your message and you don't really get much feedback as to what people heard or what they thought or how they take it. And I think it's good to ask for audience participation. Find out. I found out when I used to speak a lot at a little church in Webster Groves, and I'd speak on Sunday morning, and we had Sunday evening service, and I'd get up and ask them, "What did I say this morning?" Well, you'd be surprised. 80% of them didn't know what I said that morning. So evidently, I didn't do a very good job of saying what I needed to say. But on the other hand, when you got the feedback, some of them heard things that I didn't intend to be that way at all. So I think a lesson type approach is probably the best in our setting, because there aren't many people here who aren't Christians. Rick and I were talking a while ago, and I said, "Well, I hadn't talked about a gospel message." because most everybody here are Christians. That, you know, we tend to concentrate on more of how we should live and how we should serve and all those things, you know. So anybody speak up and let me know, give, add to or take from or whatever you need to do to let me know how you feel and what you hear. This is an old, if there's no comments, I've got one more thing I want to share with you. This is an old song in an old Church of Christ songbook. You won't find it in many of them. But it has a message that I think we need to think about when we talk about serving, we talk about reaching the lost, we talk about growing a healthy church. I think this is something we need to think about. I'll just read it because I'm not that good a singer, but it has a good message. It says, when in a better land, before the bar we stand, how deeply grieved our souls may be. If any lost one there should cry in deep despair, you never mentioned him to me. The chorus is, you never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day and knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. Let us spread the word where'er it may be heard. Help groping souls the light to see, that yonder none may say, you showed me not the way, you never mentioned him to me. The third verse goes like this. A few sweet words may guide a lost one to his side, or turn sad eyes to Calvary. So work as days go by, that yonder none may cry, you never mentioned him to me. You never mentioned him to me. You helped me not the light to see. You met me day by day, and you knew I was astray, yet never mentioned him to me. I hope that nobody can say that about us. I thought that was a good way to end a strong, healthy church and a balanced church that worships and serves God.